Hey, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and I am joined with my good friends Joe748 and Spartan. How's it going, Spartan?
Really good. Thanks for having me on board.
Yeah. How you doing, Joe748?
Doing great. Always love to be in Vegas for 2 days.
Jeez, day three or four today, right? Yeah.
I'm at my limit. Coming up pretty soon.
Why are we in Vegas?
Boot camp. November boot camp.
2023 in the books.
Yeah. It was a good one.
We came, we trained, we conquered.
Oh, very great. I love the people. I mean, I love the people in all the boot camps, but this one particularly is just very high skill level. I was very surprised overall in the entire boot camp.
I shared that last night. I think more people passed the test out than attended the second boot camp we ever did. There was good skill level. It's always fun hanging out with you guys. And I know you, Spartan, you actually live here in Vegas, so you didn't have to travel far.
No, not at all.
But
a little bit further than normal.
That's
why, different venue.
That's why we're here, and we've actually got some BJA responsibilities today that I'm excited about. But first, it's been a while. It's been a while since you've been on a podcast. When did we do a podcast with you and Levi Mitch?
Wow. That's I tried to figure that out because I've listened to that for the first time about a week ago. So
probably 2018.
I was trying to date that and I actually wrote down it's somewhere around 2017, yeah. 2018. And
so it's been a bit.
It has. And I'd like to say we're close friends, right, Colin?
Yeah. I see you. But you kind of withdrew from BJA for a season there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I see you at least five times a year. So we have plenty of opportunities to record a podcast. And also those of you listening in and are pretty active looking through the forums, you're going to see a pretty large gap between my activities, even on the forums, posting things. I was fairly active, I want to say 2017 through like 2018. And then a pretty huge gap before I started very recently, maybe within the last month, starting to post things again. And some of you have definitely noticed that. I wanted to come on a podcast and sort of explain what sort of happened.
Yeah. So can you give a brief overview of what you got into Car King, what, 2015?
Yes, 2015. April 2015 was the month that I happened to have Netflix on watching Rounders. And the next movie that was going to show after that was Holy Roller. I didn't even click it. I think I was washing dishes or doing something else, kind of like passively listening. So it just, I let it play. Saw Holy Rollers.
Was it a cringe binge?
No, not at all. It actually, it was definitely the reason that got me to attempt trying to count cards, because I had known there was card counting for a while, watching the movie 21 when I was sometime in high school. But the relatability that you guys had with just bringing in friends and family really got me to think, okay, maybe you don't need to have an MIT degree to do this.
You're like, these guys, these guys can do it.
So that night after seeing that, I took a deck of cards I had. I flipped them over one by one. And I remember that 2 through 6 was +1, 7, 8, 9 was neutral, and tens and aces were -1. I flipped through them, and within 5 minutes, I was already starting to ignore those neutrals, and I realized, oh, with repetition, this is very possible.
So then you got into it, you join, you team up, like people can listen to that podcast, but you team up with Levi Mitch, and you guys put together a team and did that for a while, and then beat casinos at Blackjack and whatnot. And then you mind sharing kind of where you've been at the last couple of years?
Absolutely. The first, I want to say, 3 years total, 2 years of being full-time AP, was one of the craziest experiences of my life. I had never felt so alive during those times. And I know there's a lot of you listening in that are in this moment where you are seeing the progress of your skills improve and actually taking down casinos and making money, and you're just right in that uphill moment of seeing all the fruits of your labor being rewarded. And it's a special moment. definitely the motivation and enthusiasm you have of the game. But yeah, I was kind of reading when you posted on the forum the Any Questions for Spartans podcast, and you had posted a interview that I did way earlier. I took a look at that, and there was something that struck me about question number four, that I even had a graph, if you remember, of the time allocated as a part-time AP, because I originally, so in 2015, I took 2 months to train. I had a job as a design engineer. I was designing wire harness shields, which was very boring to me. I never really wanted to be an engineer. It was something that I felt pressure to do, to live up to my parents' expectations of being immigrants coming into America to have a better life for their children. And they wanted me in a technical background, either a doctor, lawyer, engineer was one of them. And that's what my dad was. So naturally, I felt like I was following in his footsteps doing that, not actually thinking about what I really wanted to do. So when I had finally graduated and got my job and sat in my cubicle the first week, that was when I realized, oh, this is not what I want to do for a living. Yeah, I was sitting in that cubicle and I said, this is depressing. And it's not like that for everybody. I think there are people who can find careers that they really enjoy and their hearts into. And that just wasn't how I was, I feel like, raised to think. So I pushed that aside, my wants and dreams, and I didn't even know what those were. But I did know that I wanted to get out of this as soon as possible. And blackjack, it was a godsend to me that that just played on my computer that one night in April 2015. And I saw that as like the quickest way to get out of here. So I put a lot of dedication into my training 2 months in. I mean, my first session was May 2015. So it was about a month after, which I learned a lot about how I was training incorrectly. But I would say September of 2015 was when I started really playing with like a $5,000 bankroll, way over risk of ruin, going from table minimum $15 to two hands of $150. Luckily, I got a lot of positive variance and made like 18 grand within 2 weeks. And then from that moment on, I had the bug. I had that itch to go and play. And if you even take a look at that interview that Colin, you posted, I have that graph of my time allocation in November 2015. And I'm looking at this now. And I mean, I would wake up at 4 a.m. I was based in Detroit. So I would go to MGM Detroit, which was my local casino that I built my bankroll off of, play for about an hour, then go to work, which was 30-minute drive, then immediately drive back to the casino and play again, figure out when I'd eat, get home by 10 so I can sleep, and then do that again. I did that for like the entire month here. And I wish somebody saw this and told me like I was heading for trouble if I continued this type of work ethic.
So you team up, you play, you run teams. What kind of changed for you? What caused you to kind of pull back in the last couple of years? Is it that work ethic?
Yeah. Initially, I did not need help with motivation. In this lifestyle, this career path, the motivation, it comes with the job. The thrill of pulling the wool over the casino's eyes, the thrill of the back and forth of the money. There's a lot of stimulations that's happening in the casinos that really, and also just seeing my net worth rise rapidly and feeling like I was in control of that for the first time and not just waiting for a paycheck. Finding my band of brothers to work together with and feeling that camaraderie that I've never felt ever in my entire life. Something that I feel like calls out to all men at a certain point in their life to want strong bonds of such as like in the military and being in that foxhole with your brothers and looking out for each other. I felt very connected with that and felt that with my team because we were sharing all our net worth and everything into this as a unit. I went as far as to, once I started getting backed off, When we created the team, Levi, Mish, and I, we had $30,000 each, and each had an extra player that we decided, because we had been talking for at least a year at this point, and he too was from Michigan, so we were each other's first APs that we contacted and met, and it was through the BJA forums as well. I don't remember who reached out to who, but when we did, it was an instant connection, and we stayed in touch for over a year and finally decided there's no reason why we shouldn't team up with each other. And we did that, and we put together a 60K bankroll. You know, I went overnight from two hands of 150 to two hands of 500 and realized too that like that is a different game, a different beast entirely, and got backed off everywhere that was my local place within 2 weeks. And not that it really matters. I mean, you know, it does matter a lot. I personally lost half 28K from the team. As soon as I joined, it was just an instant downhill for me. My career, because I had been betting so low, my EV was so low for my first, I want to say 400 to 500 hours. Having that downswing initially at two ends of 500, I was at a career negative in the initial stages of my team. And I had a full-time job as an engineer. So like I just see the text in our group chat and hated having to wait till the weekend to be able to drive to, you know, starting to go to Indiana and Chicago. And when I was burned those bridges, started driving to Pittsburgh, Philly, and getting to this point where, because we were in such bad shape, I wanted to be an active part of our team. And when we had 30K between four people, I quit my job.
Yeah.
I quit my job. And that day I hopped on a car with Levi Mish and we went on that 8,000 mile road trip around the entire United States and made our money back, which you can listen to in the previous podcasts.
On the website, there's a good written
account
of the story with pictures and everything. It's really, you guys should check that out if you haven't already. So to zoom out a little bit, so when you quit your job and you started playing full time, you described it as like, okay, I'm, you know, making more money. I'm glad to be out of the office and I'm making AP friends and finding a community. Kind of sounds like it was kind of on an uphill, all things positive.
Absolutely.
In that direction.
Like I said, I never felt more alive in my life during those times. I wanted to keep going as hard as possible with my brothers. And that motivation lasted for over 2 years. I mean, there's a lot of twists and turns that happened. And Levi, Mish, and I, we continued building our team, a lot of mistakes that we made. But overall, I think the leadership that we had, it was really just showing them our passion and our work ethic and having the others who we know personally by getting to know them were able to match that.
What changed then?
I feel
to
like
the moon.
Yes. I feel like as I'm taking a long time getting to this point, but with anything, I think eventually that becomes your new normal. Even something as crazy as going around busting casinos for large figures and it was gradual for me. You know, it's pretty quickly, even doing two hands of 150, my biggest loss was 5,000, which sucked. But I also had one over 5,000 in a session as well, where, whew, wild that night. I remember I emailed you about this. I was so high off that. I gave this like really long email. Oh, it's so cringy. I have it saved somewhere about like just, oh yeah, I was telling you like every hand I split tens like two or three times. Gave you this long winded thing about just how thankful I was and everything. And you like sent a like one sentence response of, yeah, just remember, you know, short term results don't really mean anything in the long scheme of things.
Sorry, I just have gotten a lot of those emails.
I know. So
we had team policies that was like, don't tell us about your results if it's less than 50,000 or something like that. But I understand, because there was a point where, yeah, a $5,000 win, I'm sure I was freaking out and telling, you know, my wife and teammates all about it. So I get it. But you're saying it became the new normal.
Exactly. Then, it, you know, those swings of plus or minus 10,000 becomes normal. The backoffs become normal. Actually, the backoffs get just super fucking annoying. Oh, my God. I just want to work. First backoff is always great.
Yes. Everyone's excited and it's validating. Yeah.
I put together a bucket list before I really truly started playing, and getting the first backoff was one of the checks. And I did feel truly validated. Now I know, like, there are a myriad of reasons why a casino backs you off, and it's not an indicator that you have a perfect game.
Yeah, yeah. It's validation that they think you're trying to count cards.
Exactly. But they even back off
ploppy gamblers that
fluctuate their bets in a weird way and just happen to match it up with the count. So in reality, that's just a self ego thing that I had. And but very quickly, like, I just needed to make money because now I was a full time player and I relied 100% of all my expenses, my bills, my utility. I mean, everything was tied to earning money, and we were in bad shape starting out. So,
but then the money starts coming in.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not just the validation of the money. It's you're coming on podcasts, or you're creating a
yes.
Like, you want to not just make money, but to prove to other people that you're a success.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's true for all of us. Maybe for me, maybe it was my teammates. Oh, I'm losing on a bankroll. I want to prove to them that I can win. But yeah. Anyway.
Yes. So I think the turning point, really, it was the foundation of my motivation as well, that was, in hindsight, a wrong approach. And it's very natural to come to this same. I hope I can resonate with many of you on this topic, but my why was, it was not a very good reason. The why that I placed on myself was really just trying to make it be successful. I wanted financial security. I wanted respect and recognition in that field. I wanted friends. I wanted a life partner. I mean, these are good whys, but I never had a plan for what happened after I got that. And I reached that point quite unexpectedly, quicker than I thought I would. And that was essentially kind of that descent into feeling what I thought was my ticket to freedom becoming my next cage, my next cubicle in my head. I didn't think about, and this is something that you do warn more than a couple times. Blackjack is a vehicle. It's supposed to take you from one place to another. And for me, I didn't know. So I kept driving to the next casino and kept trying to fill this emptiness with thinking that making more money would solve this, having more friends, climbing higher and higher in this stupid little social ladder that we all create for ourselves that honestly, like, it doesn't exist. I lost myself in that for a bit.
Yeah. So I think the thing about card counting advantage play is, like, back in your engineering job, you have like a set schedule. You have to be at this place at this time. Your expectations are kind of laid out for how your life's going to look when you work, when you don't work. But with card counting, it's sort of like you were saying, the casino's open 24/7. You could potentially work 20 hours a day if you really wanted to. Like, you could just nonstop go. So how do you, were you just getting lost in that infinite amount of work that is possible? Like, how did you navigate that?
This is the danger of being a workaholic full-time AP. I hated the structure, the corporate structure of upper management and being told what to do. It was always just, I had a chip on my shoulder with authority and never wanted somebody telling me what to do. It's why the corporate lifestyle never worked for me. And I moved on to a self-employed professional cowboy card counter running around, living life on my own terms, working when I wanted to. And it's taken me a very long time until very recently that I realized I did have a boss and during that time. And that boss was actually the worst boss that I've had in my entire life with all the jobs that I had. That boss was myself. I was extremely hard on myself pushing me to do, to play more, to study the game harder, to just tweak every little aspect, which has gotten me to that point where I'm able to really understand the game. So there's a lot of benefits that have come along with that. But mentally, I was not kind to myself. I didn't let myself take a break for a very, very long time, for over the first 3 years playing. So was it 2016 was when I took that 8,000-mile trip around the country. My lease for my apartment had gone up. So I was a very minimalist person. I lived a very Spartan lifestyle. So I was able to have everything I owned be in my car. And I didn't have an address for about 3 months where I was traveling, just playing. Joe, you've done something similar to that, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I remember walking into your apartment once and I was just like looking at how like clean and the lack of just things around, because usually people's apartments like messy, there's stuff everywhere. But like there was just, it was just so minimal, like to an extreme. Like,
yeah, I really took on that Spartan just identity of living simply. And
so, I mean, what do you think it was that was the reason why you felt like you can never say, oh, I've been successful, I can kind of slow down a little bit? Like, what was the driver that you had to just keep?
Nothing felt like it was enough, ever. And that's the problem that I think we face in this day and age, particularly with social media as well and celebrities. And when you start connecting with APs and your group of friends are like within the higher echelons of the AP world that are doing some crazy things, you can't help but compare yourself to them constantly about where am I at in my life.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one of my favorite writers, he says, you know, you ask a greedy person how much money is enough, and they'd say just a little more. But we do that with a lot of things. How much status is enough? Just a little more. You know, how much adoration, or how much we're getting our validations somewhere. And a healthy person knows that they are worth being loved, worth being cared for. An unhealthy person, which I think a lot of us that get drawn to AP maybe have some unhealth, but we're looking for that validation, not from an objective source, but from this like always needing more source, a little more money, and then I'll feel better about myself, or a little more respect, or a little more whatever it may be. Like there's never enough, you know? Yeah.
And to answer your question about that, once I kind of went around the country, I based myself in Vegas and found an apartment. This was January 2017 when I first moved to Vegas. So once at that point, I kind of put myself in a position where my personal life and my work life were one and the same, because I lived so close to casinos constantly. Anytime I went out for groceries, to go to the gym to work out, I felt this pressure that I was wasting my time by not getting a sure two in while I'm out there. You know, once before I go to the gym and once after I had to hit a casino, I had to. And a lot of this stuff too comes from the motivations that was imposed on me growing up through a very authoritative parental style, is how I want to put it. So I was motivated by the lash. And even when I was on my own and on my own terms, I never really truly realized how much I continued that process that was put on me by being hard on myself and having this negative, very toxic self-talk about, like, you are a professional card counter, do your job, make more money, prove that you can do this. And that constant pressure of making more and more, and not setting boundaries for myself and for other people. Because at that point I was networking and meeting a lot of other future and current APs. And these are the best friends that I currently have in my life now. But early on, I did not set a boundary on that. So I was constantly meeting people, and in a city that there's a steady rotation of APs always coming around. And I just sort of lost myself in that, overextending myself consistently, trying to help, trying to find validation in other people. And eventually, what initially started off as fun became very, very stressful. I mean, I had some serious imposter syndrome. I know throughout that because I had also created this alter ego of Spartan that I know that a lot of you resonate with the posts that I put into forums and the way I speak and the way I approach the game. And initially, I had so many insecurities that I did not think that I could be that person. I could be that leader for other people and also for my own team, that I created that persona and went as far as to buy a necklace pendant with a Spartan shield on it and put that around my neck so that I can feel its weight and remind myself that this is who I am when I am interacting with other APs or when I'm going into the casino. And what I felt like was changing my personality because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I had the strength and the mental fortitude to do the things that I did, that I pretended that I was this Spartan warrior that didn't fear anything. It was to a point where I needed that physical totem. If I drove and I forgot it, I had to go back home before I went to the casino because I needed that shield. And that started wearing on me because I felt internally that I was not true to myself, that I was somebody who didn't deserve to be successful and have recognition in this life. And that's where I started withdrawing from both my presence in the forum, mentally, from even my friends, you, Colin, Joe. I mean, you remember that period where suddenly I'm just not really there. I still came to the boot camps.
You skipped some.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And it's like, okay, whatever you have to do, but definitely felt like you're going through some stuff.
Yeah. I think those of you listening who have attended boot camps, there's a period from, I want to say, 2019 to like 6 months ago. If you attended a boot camp during that time and you met and saw me, that is not who I really was. And maybe you've noticed seeing me there that I was not fully present. It's very different from, say, like the last the boot camp we had this weekend, and from the earlier stages, the boot camp that I had. I didn't feel good about my occupation and the choices I made to become a card counter. And I think that showed with the boot camp that I didn't feel comfortable pushing this sort of lifestyle on other people and having them fall into the same trap that I did.
I think it's like pretty normal for everyone, no matter what they're doing, to have ebbs and flows of motivation in their work. But with this, it sounds more like, you achieved some of the things you set out to, made some of the money goals and some of the relationship, personal friendship goals, and found community. But then you're kind of left with the emptiness of what, you already achieved those things and you thought those things were going to bring you to this nirvana, and it just didn't.
No.
Because the money, it never does.
Yeah. And with the imposter syndrome, what do you do with that? If you're feeling, you either have to double down on being that, you have to try harder to be the thing that you think will not be an imposter, or you collapse under the weight of it and just withdraw. It's the same with the money thing. You either like have to make more money to continue to feel validation, or you say like, I don't know why I'm doing this, and you just collapse under it. And I'm sure plenty of people, APs have done that. I'm sure plenty of people in other walks of life have done that. And so that's where you're at. You're at least there was enough relational pull that you kept coming to boot camps, but you either had to put on a facade or just be a shell of yourself. Yes, is that correct?
I felt like I needed to pull on a facade. I think that's an important distinction, which we can talk about a little bit later. But yeah, I think I'd like to hear how you feel about this, where you think. But after like the first 100 grand that you have in cash, you physically see and you're safe, or you just have that break of 100 grand, that feeling of like, because I had that as one of my checkpoint markers, like making my first 100 grand. After that, it's really no different from getting to the 200 grand point. In my mind, that's how I felt. Like past that point, I was just throwing cash on top of a bigger pile of cash. It didn't make me feel any safer either. It actually made me more anxious about losing everything. I was more optimistic being broke than I was having a certain level of financial security. And yeah, then the money, like I wasn't spending money on anything. I was just trying to whittle down my risk of ruin to 0.00 on pro betting software. And yeah, I got there. I hit that point. at that point, it's like, I need a bigger bankroll than this, but I didn't know what to do with the money and what to, like, I was in this perpetual survival syndrome is kind of the term that I just made up for myself. But I was in that where I just felt that I was always poor and I needed more money and something was going to happen that could take it all away. I could get hurt. I didn't have health insurance at this time.
I think I've heard this story from this kind of perspective for multiple APs, you know, kind of myself included. It's like, before you get into card counting, you have all these like problems, relationship problems or family traumas or whatever it is you're holding. And then you discover this thing that's super exciting. And then, you know, you make some money and it relieves some of those, you know, minor stressors and it feels like you're accomplishing this really cool thing, but you still have all that previous stuff you've never dealt with and you just kind of set it aside and you keep playing. And that stuff is still there and it's going to keep coming up later. So it's sort of like once you achieve those goals, the money goals, even the friendship community goals, that stuff is still hanging out in the background that you never dealt with. So
absolutely.
But you think that, oh, if I make this X amount, if I make $1 million doing this, or if I do this, like then it's going to all be solved. But it always will pop back up if you don't address it. So you said your parents wanted you to be an engineer. Like, what was the response like when you told them you were a successful professional gambler?
I have been estranged from them for over a decade now at this point. And that point when they, I mean, it is what it is. My father disowned me, told me he never wanted to see me again. It had nothing to do with blackjack. I wasn't even a blackjack
player. Yeah, a decade ago. That's before you were an AP.
Mm-hmm. As I stated earlier, I had a authoritarian father who wanted or needed control over my life, a certain degree, a very large control over how my life went. And it was through, in a very weird way, his love for me that he felt that he needed to dictate and guide this for my own good.
Well, yeah, I understand what you mean. The problem is it's abusive love. You know, if a husband is like, I just love you so much, that's why I hit you. You know, it's like, that's abusive, dysfunctional, you know, there probably is some love there, but he didn't know how to love you in a way that had any sort of boundary. Like he had to be over you to feel at peace himself.
Yeah. Like I went up until, I want to say it was college, when I graduated from college. I mean, there's a period in college when I actually went to Michigan State University. That is where initially the Spartan moniker comes from, because they're Michigan State Spartans. And that's kind of known as a party school. So I was able to kind of find myself more in that, but I was still under my parents' authority during those times. But even throughout up to high school, graduating from high school, I had never showed any sign of defiance and obeyed everything that my parents wanted from me. And it was until I graduated from college that I truly felt that, oh, I'm an adult now. So maybe this is going to be different and I can be actually have some sort of a different relationship with my father now that what I thought he saw me as an adult at this point. And I was wrong when it was something like really, really stupid. I wanted a roommate coming out of college and it was a friend, a guy. I mean, it wasn't even a girl, which he would have absolutely had an issue with if it was a girl. But it was a guy, it was a friend, and it was just to save costs. And my dad, for some reason, he didn't even know the person, but I think because he didn't know the person, he didn't trust, didn't want to get to know or ask me any questions. Instead, he just told me, no, you're going to live alone.
And you're an adult. You're a what, 22-year-old adult?
24.
24-year-old. 24-year-old. Adult being told what you're allowed to do.
And I sort of didn't expect that and kind of made plans already with my friend to settle on a place. So I pushed back for the first time and said, no, this makes sense for me financially. I want to do this. And we have been friends throughout college and we've sort of basically lived together during that time. And I think we work well together. There's not going to be issues. He didn't want to hear it. He told me that if I don't follow, I'm not his son. And I don't want to go into detail about that night, but I left there. And that was really also, though, the point where I truly felt free to start moving on from what the path that they put on me. So there was some good in that.
But what I'm hearing is that almost a decade later, you still had a yoke. You still had to prove, you still had the same, like, your love comes for what you do.
Yes.
And even though it was no longer specifically to your dad, uh-huh. you're to yourself, you're saying my love comes from what I prove, what I do.
Yeah. 3 years into my AP career, it was December 31st. It was New Year's Eve of 2017. And so that in January 1st, 2018, 2019, I had at that point amassed over $100,000 playing blackjack. My parents at this point had no idea what the hell I was doing during this time. I mean, there was a period of over a year where I actually lived quite near to them while I was building my bankroll and still working, that they could have reached out to me at any point, and they didn't. And that's when I realized that this was not a bluff. Like, he truly disowned me. And I moved away to Vegas, continued my AP journey, made over $100,000, and I thought, maybe I can reach back out to them and show them that I'm okay, that I actually can figure out how to live in this wacky world, and I don't need that level of control, because I still had that deep desire to just live up to my parents' expectations and have their love. So I went back to Michigan, and New Year's Eve is really funny. I actually... It was so long because they moved to a different, they sold their house after we left for college, my brother and I, to just get a smaller condo because they didn't need that large house anymore with being empty nesters. So I didn't have that much time even knowing where they lived, even though I had been there a couple of times. I actually parked in front of the wrong house, the wrong condo. It was like right across from the one that actually was there. And I knocked on the door and nobody answered. And I just stayed there for a couple hours in Michigan winter weather, in the cold. Nobody was home during that time. That would have solved my issue really quickly if somebody was home. Like, oh, I had the wrong house. But the next day, New Year's Day, I actually found the right place and realized it was the wrong place and knocked on their door. Initial response was good. They were accepting me. And I told them everything about what I did, the friends that I made, the money that I made. And very initially, my father's response was like, wow, impressive. A couple days later, he sat me down and told me, all right, there's a number of conditions that need to be met for you to be accepted as my son again. You need to quit blackjack. You need to move back home. You need to go back to church. You need to stop contacting all of those friends that you made. And you need to essentially, be back under the control of them. And I was so desperate for validation from them that I almost fell for that. I don't know if you know, like I if you have your emails, like I think I might have sent you something saying that I'm thinking about quitting blackjack. I was very confused. I never gave a direct answer to him. And I left. And as soon as I got back home in Vegas, my mind cleared up again. And I was suddenly realizing, no, that's not what I want to do. And if those are the conditions that needed to be met, then I'm sorry. Like, I could not live that way. I would not be my own person. So it wouldn't be fair to myself. It wouldn't be fair to my parents if I did that. It is what it is. It's been many years after that. And I feel like I've come to terms with it. Still going through it now. But that also had a deep process. Really, honestly, with the timing on that and when my mental health started declining, it really matches up with that time. Just that the realization that making that money and having that success meant nothing to me.
So it wasn't just the realizing there's not enough, or that the money's not satisfying, or the status isn't satisfying. It's that...
Yeah,
dealing with an insanely deep wound.
Yes, and my love for the game of blackjack turned into this bitterness I remember just starting to start seeing the negative in everything. Smoke-filled casinos, all the degenerates that were around me, thinking casinos are just this evil place that I had to be in. And particularly just my relationship with the game and having to deal with the back-offs and the constant ID checks, being treated like a criminal, got to a point where I'd be sitting in a parking lot. I'm physically shaking right now, reliving this in my mind. Just sitting in my car with my like hand on the steering wheel, head on the steering wheel, just loudly blasting Eminem's Soldier, because that was one of my songs that amped me up, and thinking like, this is so fucking stupid. Oh my God, I'm just going to get backed up in 5 minutes. I'm not even going to spread. I should just go home. Why am I here? Finally getting to a point where I'm able to get up, walk in the door, and have exactly what I predicted happen, and going back to my car being like, I'm going to the next place, and just torturing myself this way.
Yeah.
Thinking like, I didn't know. I didn't know what else to do. I kept driving. I kept putting the gas on the pedal, thinking maybe a little bit further, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
So what do you wish you would have known? Or what do you wish you could say to the Spartan at that moment?
Well, this took a while. This was a process for me to finally understand now what I could have done differently. But roughly around the pandemic, 2020, and I know along with everybody else, we started a lot of just your past and mental issues that we all struggle with was really coming to surface with everybody during these times and made things worse, including for myself. And I got to a point where I was in such a deep depression that I allowed myself to take an entire year off from working at all. I stopped communicating with my friends regularly. I didn't like going outside at all. I was sitting at home playing video games, binging TV shows, smoking a lot of weed, self-medicating because I couldn't sleep, and getting a lot of DoorDash deliveries during that time, spent a lot of money, just overcorrecting myself, really, just becoming a lazy piece of shit. And that's good for you in like maybe like a week or 2 weeks taking a vacation. Whew. Going for as long as I did. I mean, I didn't go a full year of 6 months of doing nothing just made it absolutely worse. My mental health got just like an all-time low at that point. I hit rock bottom. And the climb out of that, really, it started with, I don't know where I got it from. I still stayed connected with people, including coming to the boot camps, even though I was going through this deep, deep depression. And I was feeling so self-conscious that it was showing. I think a JC note even told me just the other day when I was talking about, hey, like, what did you see when you saw me during these times? And he told me that when he said a joke or said something funny, he looked at me and he's like, the lights weren't on in my eyes is how he phrased it. Like, I just wasn't there mentally. And that was true. And I felt very even more self-conscious, because the more you isolate yourself, like, you think that you have social skills, you have them for life. Oh, I started forgetting how to talk to people. So I started being self-conscious of that and trying to change that. You know, thank God I stayed connected to a certain extent to you and BJA, because it made me aware of that. And I started looking for help through books, and there's certain like YouTube channels like Charisma on Command that I found, or a book called The Charisma Myth, that kind of gave me tools on how to be more social, because that's what I was looking for at that time. Almost like I was like looking to like how to fake being social so that people don't see my depression. But through that, I found an amazing tool. It was like the light bulb in my head that went off, and that's where my depression started. That, I think, was the point, the day my depression started dissipating and I was climbing out of it. It was the negative self-talk that I had, beating myself up constantly. That version of me is not like that. The way I thought about myself is not who I am, really. It is just the pressure that I put on myself, and I chose to believe. When you say it enough times in your head, you believe these things about yourself, that I am not Spartan. I am not outgoing. I'm not brave. And a simple exercise of just telling yourself that you can trick yourself by saying good things about yourself, even if you don't believe them initially. So I stopped the negativity. It was a process, and started lying to myself. I mean, I thought I was lying to myself, but really it was all in me. I didn't choose to believe it because I had such a low opinion of myself. There was actually a point, I think I forgot to mention, at my lowest point, I hated both my own birth identity as well as the Spartan moniker that I put on. I killed both of them in, where is it? Let me, I have a picture. April 3rd, 2022. Yes, I even put up like a personal memorial for myself. I hung that pendant shield that I always wore around my neck, and even wrote my real name and put my birth and the current day of death, and sort of had this funeral for myself. Like, it's just so insane the lengths that I went through to try to rebuild my identity. Long story short, because I took on a legal new name, and I started even going as far to ask all my friends to call me by this new name, thinking that if they weren't calling me by my birth name, I wouldn't feel like that person anymore. It doesn't work. I figured that out pretty fast.
Yeah. So I think the distinction between one of the biggest advantages of doing card counting is you have this freedom of schedule, and you can take the ability, if you play enough, to take a year off. I think it's totally fine to like take a long break, but the withdrawing from people on top of the, you know, not working is the problem. Like, that's the biggest problem. But so now you've kind of recently had this revitalization of playing, and particularly in Vegas. Like, can you tell us a little bit about your new found like passion again for card counting and how it's become a more healthy balance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is not a sad story. There is light at the end of the tunnel here. When I figured out a lot of my own issues, and I'm still working on that, the biggest thing is now that I accept who I am, and I accept the role that I put myself in this community. I accept that a lot of people look up to me, and it was well earned. I worked hard, very hard for this. So not being in conflict with myself and having that imposter syndrome or putting that aside did so much good for my mental health, as well as telling myself the blessings that I had coming into that. I have financial security. I have amazing friends. I have a lifestyle where I can choose to do and be whatever I want to be. I could go to community college and learn a new skill. I could do anything. And I just, for me, it's like this great big FOMO, this fear of missing out on the next big AP play that all my friends are getting in, and the missing out on that, I just stayed continuously just locked into just AP mindset. And I realized for myself that being a full-time AP is not healthy for me. I need something else on the side, even if it's just a hobby, which I didn't have at the time. So I have creative outlets now. I play a lot more music, piano, which helps me vent out a lot of my emotions and stresses. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I also realize how important music is to me. Just listening to new music and constantly, like, not just repeating the same old stuff, and being in the car and just singing when I'm alone.
Yeah, it sounds like you just went from before, where you're doing, you know, 100% of your time aside from sleep was AP and card counting. Now it's like you've been able to be comfortable dialing down that percentage, mm-hmm. and then filling the other other, you know,
absolutely,
parts of the day with things that, you know, fulfill you, make you happy. So
yeah, and I am also fortunate that I have reached that point of financial security that I can allow myself not to have to work too hard to pay all my current bills for a good amount of time. But I just found that passion again, because I really did love blackjack at a certain point. And I found that again because I was reminding myself the blessings that I received through coming into this life, the friends that I had, also just the connections that I made. Because another thing that happened quite recently that was not planned at all in my stars, just the connection that I had with another person that I met through BJA, who is directing a film and saw the skills that I had over the years. I got to know him and really saw fit to work on this new film with him. So now I find myself in this position where I have a creative outlet to really express myself more. That's something completely different from, such a breath of fresh air doing something different from AP and just working, having fun, and not worried about somebody telling you like, hey, you can't work anymore. Because that was a big problem with AP. Like when you want to work, there's constantly people telling you, no, you can't work here. So just having that freedom, that not having that stress and that flight or fight response when I'm in my office, so to speak.
But you're still playing right now.
Yes, like, I am.
Yeah.
I am. It's in my blood.
Yeah.
It's just maintaining the balance.
Right.
That's the important thing. Because it is not imperative that I have that extra hour of table time to pay off a bill. I have other ways to make money. I start expanding more and realizing, yeah, I do enjoy the game. And it's always going to be part of my life. And I will always be at the boot camps for as long as I can. But not full time. I can't do that.
You've talked about that, Colin, how important it is to, figure out how card counting fits with your personality, with your life, and be true to that. Otherwise, you're trying to force something that's just not going to work.
Yeah. And I was thinking about, you know, it's kind of doing the exercise of asking, then what? Because it's, oh man, if I become a card counter, then I can quit my job. Okay, then what? Well, then I can make money. Well, then what? Well, then I'll, you know, get respect from my peers in the card counting industry. Well, then what? Well, if you keep asking that, you know, that I asked a question earlier, what would Spartan now say to Spartan, you know, 4 years ago? And maybe it would be like, you don't need to prove anything to your dad or to other people or to yourself. And as you're learning to say, hey, I don't have things to prove, then Advantage Play can be what it is and nothing more. And you can find joy in things outside of proving things, outside of proving it with money or proving it with success or proving it with a persona, but simply in being who, you know, I would say God made you to be, or you could say who you're made to be or whatever. You could just be accepted for who you are.
Yes, absolutely. That was when truly the shackles came off. Now, like, I just have fun. I mean, I prioritize above all relationships in my life, my own health, sleep, food, exercise, being kind to myself, and having a lot of fun. One of the tools that I use to have a healthier relationship with Blackjack now is I actually pretend that there is a film crew documenting me every time I go into the casino and I work. And I ask myself, what is the story that I want to tell people who are watching this? Is it that I just worked very hard and made a lot of money and that's it? That I'm just very disciplined like that? No, that's not the story. I want to have fun. I want to show that I can enjoy life. And I've done things now that, yeah, I've had a lot more fun with my outfits and disguises and my act and actually connecting with people. Because I know there's this, you know, we like to look at others in the casinos as different from us, but we're all people. The dealers, the pit bosses, the ploppy sitting next to you is another person. And just because they're sitting there in the casino doesn't make them a degenerate. I mean, there's a lot of people who just have a healthy vice of gambling and are responsible with it. And there's a lot you can learn from people. So now I'm genuinely excited to go to work and connect with the person sitting next to me. And if we win, this is a table win, I'm in it. It's a team sport for me. You know, I start just, when you start acting that way, you can't help but feel it. And I play it up, just, you know, I just dial it up a little bit more so that I can blend in more. So it's part of my act as it helps me get a little bit more time, but I'm high-fiving, I'm fist bumping, I'm yelling at the other players for making a stupid basic strategy move, same as them doing to me. And because I'm acting like I'm having more fun, I actively am having a lot more fun. And when the backoffs happen, I just know, like, it's not them. It's not the person backing you off is just as uncomfortable as you about doing it. And they also have had their share, fair share of bad experiences from card counters who just lost a lot of money and just went off on them, so that they have that same response that we have about, like, all right, this is going to be uncomfortable and I don't know how this person is going to react. So that sometimes they come off a little bit stronger because of that. I do my best to de-escalate as much as possible and just smile and be like, took you long enough, you know, just kind of make it a big joke. Just because that's really, it's, you know, they have their jobs and we have ours, and both are legal and both are what we do to make our living. And it's this fun cat and mouse game that we play. But as long as they allow for, you know, 3-2 blackjack, we're always going to be around. And I just want to show a different side of APs to them, that we can be respectful, but we'll still do our jobs.
We got to wrap it up here. But I feel like what I'm hearing is a burden was put on you from your parents of needing to prove things, needing validation, and you carried that into Advantage Play. And some people, they'll spend their entire lives doing that, you know? Like, it's just the next thing. It's the next relationship, the romantic partner. It's my kids are going to validate me, you know? Grandparents. I hear grandparents brag. Like, the thing that validates them is how many or how successful their grandkids are. Like, that can carry on your entire life. It took getting to a dark place, but the gift of it is that it revealed to you the way out was to stop putting that burden on yourself. And once you accepted who you were without proving yourself, it changed Advantage Play and it's changed relationships. Am I close?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I realized that I have Spartan inside me now and my own birth person. I got a pendant again with the Spartan shield. I'm actually not wearing it right now. See, I forgot it on my nightstand because it means something completely different to me now. In the traditional Spartan origins of their phalanx formation, the soldiers, their shields were actually meant for the person next to you.
So you're saying Very interesting point. When they'd all be like lined together up. Yeah.
If you watch the movie 300, when they're holding up their shields, you're not protecting yourself. You're protecting the person next to you. So that now is like a reminder to me, to the people that I care about, and just thinking about them. All the people, my wife, my friends, all the you guys listening in, Blackjack Apprenticeship, this community. And now that shield I have, it's I think, what can I do to help others? I don't need it. Like I said, you know, it's I can be just fine not wearing it, but I like having that just symbol. It's kind of like my, you know, like the cowl that Batman puts on. It's something that I want to eventually, when I do retire from AP, kind of hang that up as a symbol of the time that I had, because this was wild. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just want to say thanks for opening up and sharing all those like personal details in your story and the evolution of like playing, not playing, playing, getting to a place of more balance. And look forward to seeing how you're doing and hope you do well and whatever. You don't have to play blackjack for 30 years. Like you don't, but just, you know, enjoy, seeing you happy and fulfilled and whatever you're doing. So
it's not an uncommon narrative to find AP, love AP, start to hate AP. And, you know, and it says, it's like, well, yeah, it's not, it's like the, how much money is enough, a little more, like, it's not going to satisfy. AP is a tool or a resource, but hopefully people listening to this can learn from your strength and experience. And even as you look to help others, like that, you don't have to, you don't have to help others to validate yourself. You get to care for others in a way that's healthy and, you know, just to move forward in healthier way. So anyway, like Joe748 said, thanks for sharing with us. And for those that want to learn more about Blackjack and hopefully a way to do it in a positive and healthy, beneficial way, check out blackjackapprenticeship.com or don't.